around in this great big city. Fast money and the life will never show you no pity. Oh, I work hard trying to make my bones, but times have changed and I just got to move. I can't run away, I can't run away, I can't run.
Hey, welcome to Writer's Tricks of the Trade. I'm Morgan St. James, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes, along with my co-host, Dennis N. Griffin. Now, Denny comes to us from New York and tells us there's a blizzard raging, so I hope there aren't any problems with his connection. The guests on Writer's Tricks of the Trade are authors and professionals in the publishing business, and they share their experiences and techniques. We air on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time and 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Let's give a warm welcome tonight to our guest, author and artist Phyllis Bradner. Phyllis is an award-winning graphic designer, fine artist, and published writer, and she formerly owned an antique shop. If that sounds suspiciously like Goldie and the Silver Sisters, you bet it is, because Phyllis is my co-author for the Silver Sisters Mysteries. After living in Alaska for many years, she moved to a quaint 100-year-old house in McMinnville, Oregon. She's co-authored three Silver Sisters Mystery books with me now, and we have a fourth in work. She's been a political print consultant for campaigns, including four gubernatorial races and five candidates for U.S. Senate. So she's got the credentials. Over the years, she's won four Alaska Press Club Awards and two national awards for newsletter publications. And she was the co-author of the Juno Centennial Cookbook, which she also co-authored, and Touring Juno. She works out of her own art studio, and she's a co-owner of the Currents Art Gallery in McMinnville, Oregon. You can learn more about Phyllis by visiting www.bradnerartstudio.com. That's B-R-A-D-N-E-R. And you can see her artwork and learn more about her. Well, if you haven't gotten exhausted by that, I mean, she's a busy lady, I'd like to introduce you to our producer, Eric Miller. He's manning the switchboard. And you can participate in tonight's show through our chat room or by calling in at 646-478-0982. That's 478-0982, area code 646. Denny, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go right into our topic tonight, which is writing with a partner.
Well, first of all, it's nice to be with you, and so far the weather's cooperated, and I seem to have a good, strong signal. Yes, I've written 16 books now that are published, and have another book that Morgan and I worked on that is waiting to be published. And I formerly was a co-host of a radio show here on Blog Talk Radio called Crime Wire. And I'm currently writing primarily organized crime or true crime stories and memoirs. And if you want to check me out any further, you can visit my website at www.dennisngriffin.biz. That's dennisngriffin.biz. Thank you.
Okay, Denny, that's great. I'll give my creds really quickly. I've written 12 books with a couple of more in the works right now, over 600 articles on the business and techniques in writing. And I've written a book about writing called, strangely enough, Writer's Tricks of the Trade. And you can check me out on www.morganstjames-author.com. And that's enough about me. Okay, so let's talk about tapping into the strengths of co-authors. We'll talk about setting up a system that works for both, or even there might be more than two co-authors, and how one author might feed off of the other for a seamless result, so it doesn't seem like two people are writing. Phyllis, I know that I'm frequently asked, how do you write with a partner? Do people ask you that?
They ask me that all the time, Morgan. And, of course, It's a pretty easy answer for me because we've worked it out so well, you and I, and in case anybody listening doesn't know, we are actually sisters. And so, you know, we got all our petty arguments out of the way long ago when we were teenagers.
When we were kids.
And, you know, pretty much what we started out doing was analyzing each of our strong points. And Morgan is a type A. She just, you know, barrels along, doesn't stop for anything. When she gets an idea in her head, boy, she's just, you know, takes the reins and runs with it. And I'm kind of a type B, more, I don't move as quickly, but there's one thing that I do move quickly on, and that's when I'm a consummate editor. I was a professional copywriter. As soon as I see some writing that needs editing, I can't help myself. I have to just jump in right away. And so what Morgan has figured out with me is that if she sends me the rough copy, which she can just sit down at that typewriter and bang it out, and she sends it to me, and as soon as I see it, I just can't help myself. I have to jump in and start editing it. And so that's what we've figured out, is which things motivate us, and that's the beginning of it. There's way more to discuss, but I bet Morgan has something to say about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I've found that for me, because I've co-authored with several different authors. I've co-authored with you. I've co-authored with Denny. I've co-authored with Carolyn Rao. Our guest last week, or last show, Mike Dennis, he and I wrote a little column together, and I find that it's totally different every time you work with a co-author, because as you were saying, Phyllis, you tap into their strengths, and then the two of you decide how you're going to handle things. And Denny, I know when we first started writing together, and we did La Bella Mafia, which is a memoir of a very interesting lady, Bella Capo. And, I mean, she had so much happen in her life, I thought she was going to be 70 years old, and when we first met her, she was 39. but, yeah, it's true, isn't it, Denny?
It certainly
but I
is.
Remember you had some trepidation. Do you want to mention how that all worked out?
Yes, well, I had been contacted by a friend who said he had a friend of his with a great story to tell and wanted to know if I was interested. And this particular person making the recommendation, I knew quite well, and I knew he was the real deal, and I believed what he told me. And I made contact with the lady in question, Bella Capo. And as we talked, I realized she was getting – a lot of her story was going to be about things that I was not personally familiar with. For example, I have no siblings, and she had issues with a brother that was going to be in the book. And she also was suffering from PTSD. I knew a little bit about PTSD, but I've never experienced it, and I'm not an expert on it. So I was nervous, wondering would I be able to tell the story appropriately and get the right emotion and right descriptors and so forth. So I decided I would see if Morgan would be interested in possibly a joint effort on the book. And Morgan, I didn't even know it when I asked her, but she had had about experience with PTSD. She obviously has siblings, and so we agreed, or she agreed, to join the team, and together with Morgan and another lady, Judy Deutsch, who agreed to do editing for us, we were able to produce the book La Bella Mafia, and any concerns I had about working with another author were very quickly dispelled, because I found Morgan to be extremely easy to work with, extremely efficient, and as like Phyllis said, nothing stops her. So it was really an enjoyable experience, and since then we've done another book, which is not yet published, and I have another project in the works.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting, that you had these fears about working with all, let's call it a team in this case, because the four of us became a team. And the interesting part was we were all in different parts of the country. So, you know, in that situation, much like I do with you, Phyllis, most of the stuff was done by email. And occasionally we would have conference calls. And Phyllis, you know, when we start talking with each other, it's a darn good thing that there's unlimited long distance now, or we'd be in the poorhouse.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. This last week I had my hearing checked at a audiology center, and he said something about losing a certain amount of hearing, and my partner Stan said, well, that's because of all those conversations you have with your sister. She just wears your eardrums out.
Oh, God. And, Denny, what? You and I have run down batteries on phones. We've had so many. We could be in the middle of editing, and all of a sudden one of us will say, hey, wait a minute, I have to get a different phone. It's going dead.
Well, but, you know, when Morgan and I first started writing together, most of the communication abilities that we have now weren't really as available, and we started out with faxes we did have email, but now it's really been simplified, and sending PDFs back and forth and things like that have really worked well. But what I wanted to mention was that part of that team effort is also laying the groundwork rules really soon in the teamwork process, so that, for instance, Morgan and I decided right at the beginning that we had to decide, you know, when we both disagreed on how a certain thing should be, how are we going to decide that without hurting the other person's feelings? Well, okay, the first thing is throw away your feelings. The second thing is that whichever one of us seems to feel the strongest about it, they win. That's it, hands down, they win. And that way we can let go of some of the, you know, the babies that we don't want to cut out of the story. But if the other person feels super strong about it, they win. And each of those rules has to be sort of set at the beginning rather than determine when the fight starts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've really avoided what could have turned into some tense episodes, let's say. I was going to say nasty, but we never get nasty with each other.
No.
Let's say they could have been tense, where one of us really felt strongly about something and the other one didn't. One of the other questions that I'm asked a lot, and I don't know about, Denny and Phyllis, they want to know, do you each write a chapter? And once again, when writing with Phyllis, because I'm that A-type energizer bunny until my batteries run down, I will generally churn out a chapter. We've already decided beforehand, though, because now let me clarify something, too. Phyllis and I have written fiction together. Denny and I wrote true crime and true abuse books together, which are two different animals, and we're working on a fiction book now. But the guidelines are kind of different, too, there. And so, you know, in my case, in the case of the Silver Sisters, what we do is plot it out first so that we know where we're going with it. Would you like to talk about some of the kind of retreats that we've had where we toss things around, have some fun, eat a lot of candy and chocolate?
Right. Yes, we do that. We do. The bottom line is we'll get together, either at my end or at Morgan's end. When I lived in Alaska, she'd come up to Alaska. Now I live in Oregon, and she's come up to Oregon, or I'll go down to Vegas or whatever, and we will sit for two or three days and do nothing but decide what our plot line's going to be, what each chapter is roughly going to contain, And so we know by the time we start writing, we know what our plot progression is, and we know, you know, roughly what each chapter will have in it. Now, sometimes it turns out that, you know, what we thought we were going to do didn't actually turn out that way. But for the most part, we know. And so Morgan can take that outline that we've made with the little spreadsheet with the talking points and so forth, and she can rough out a chapter. And then as soon as she's got that chapter roughed out, she'll send it to me, and I will clean it up. I'll add some humorous situations. You know, I kind of do the tighter brush strokes at the end of the process. And then we both read it to each other over the phone. First one of us will read it, and the other one will listen for what doesn't sound right. And then, you know, we'll kind of go back and forth. But we never write in. We never do it so that one person, you know, writes a chapter and then the other person writes another chapter. We did a little bit when we work on the things that we know more about. Like I did write the chapters or did the rough on the chapters that had to do with Alaska. But then the process was still the same where we each hone each other's work. And so we're both working on the chapter at different periods.
Yeah, and then I kind of brought that up because the experience of writing with Denny on these true books was a whole different experience because we had a lot of the information in front of us. And Denny, do you want to talk about how we did kind of trade off writing chapters and moving things around and deciding what the order of all this volume of information was and what went in the book and what didn't?
Yeah, and I have to say, no, Morgan, I won't speak for you. I think I know what your answer will be, but I'm going to speak for myself.
You know me too well already, Denny.
the book I mentioned that we had finished, the manuscript that we finished but was not yet published, that also involved an abusive situation and PTSD and so forth. And I found that book to be extremely, challenging.
And, so did I.
Okay. No matter how well we planned trying to follow a certain direction and get from point A to point C, the story we were telling that particular person, because it was traumatic for her to relive these incidents and events and with the PTSD, there was a lot of rewriting. She would remember things that she didn't remember in the initial interview. Later on, she would remember them. Or she would actually remember that they didn't happen quite like she first thought they happened. Her first recollection was not accurate. So we had an awful lot of editing to do, rewriting to do, and some things would result that they would have an impact on several chapters. We'd have to do a lot of work in those areas. And in spite of that, and I think at times that we were under some stress, we did it in such a way that we worked, I think Morgan and I worked smoothly. Now, you know, we did have sometimes frustration with the difficulty in obtaining certain information, but when we had a rewrite, we rewrote, and we passed back and forth, and we evaluated and analyzed, and we made suggestions back and forth, and until we agreed that we had it the way it should be, the way we wanted it, we would then consult with the person whose story we were telling and say, are we
and everything
right
would
now?
Get shot down.
Yeah, it's the way it is. And finally, after a lot of effort, we would end up finalizing chapters that were finally satisfactory to all concerned. And we never really had, like I say, there was a little bit of stress involved, but we never had any arguments or anything over it. And
no.
That was rather remarkable.
Yeah, it really was under the circumstances. And once again, you know, because we're talking about kind of writing teams, and Judy Deutsch also had some input on some of the Silver Sisters books. She's a very astute person, and we worked with Judy on the first book, La Bella Mafia, and then we worked with Dara Whitaker, who is just one of the most inquisitive people I've ever met, which is fantastic when you've got somebody, you know, analyzing your manuscript. And Dara will be a guest on Writer's Tricks of the Trade in 2015. And that should be an interesting show. But actually, what I was going to say is, even down to this, it was a different experience to write both memoirs because of the organization and the response time of the two different people whose books we were writing.
Right. Well, I could imagine that you and Denny worked in a similar manner, but you have that third party interjected who has a completely different way of dealing with you two as co-authors.
Yeah, well, that too, plus my dear sister, Denny is also an A-type. Between the two of us, we were burning up the, burning up the emails and burning up the telephones. So once again, it injects a different dynamic into writing as a partner. But one of the things that happened for you and I, Phyllis, was that because of writing books together, we've become best friends, and well, we were sisters who hardly knew each other.
It's really true. There's 5.5 years between us, and during our sort of youthful years, Morgan was so much ahead of me in school and everything that it was really, wasn't something where we shared similar interests or time together except for family gatherings. And then as soon as I was 21, I moved up to Alaska and stayed there until I was 60. So
you got frozen in time.
That's right. And so, we really didn't, again, it was just sort of family gatherings, and our mother was our intermediary, and she would tell, I'd talk to her, and she'd say, oh, here's what's happening with your sister, and Morgan would talk to her, and she'd say, here's what's happening. And so we really barely ever, talked outside of, seeing each other at Christmas time or something. And when we started this writing process, we came to realize that even though we thought we were very different personalities, that there was so much that was really, the same in our personalities. And we had never really realized it until we worked together so closely. And as you said, Morgan, now we're best friends.
Yeah, which is really a nice thing. when we say we've become our mother and our aunt, it's not something that's derogatory. That's a huge compliment because
right.
They were best friends their entire life.
Right, and we really have, and it's pretty amazing, really. I mean, if you'd asked me at, say when I was 30 years old, if I could envision myself getting on the phone and talking to my sister for an hour and a half, I would laugh at you.
That's one of the short conversations.
Yes, right. I mean, I might call her up and talk for 5 minutes, but
yeah.
So
yeah.
This has been a wonderful experience, and let me just add this much.
Sure.
It sounds to me, too, like you and Denny have become great friends because of
we
the
have. We have.
Writing.
I think as long as you have that initial understanding about how you write together, there's really a bond that's formed when you're writing books together.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that, Denny?
I would say that, and I think you, as long as, like you say, you have the understanding and people who are willing, you can't have somebody who's a total control freak, because I don't think that would work. So the parties involved have to be flexible and reasonable.
Very much.
And if you are, I think it can work and be beneficial.
Yeah, and it's also kind of fun. I mean, Denny and I have both written books on our own, and Phyllis, I think you wrote, was the touring guide something you did yourself? And, of course, you've done all your other kind of writing, the political
the touring
things.
Guide, I did a collaborative effort on the touring guide as well. A friend of mine had gathered the information, and she was a very good information gatherer and knew me to be a good writer. And so we got together on that, and it was a very successful operation. But I, for most of my career, I wrote alone. I did copywriting and graphic design, and so I would write, you know, copy for annual reports. And I did. I was the publication director for the Alaska Division of Tourism, so I did quite a lot of, tourism, flack, and that was, you know, pretty much a sole effort. And then, of course, whoever had to approve it would, you know, put the little finishing touches on that made them feel like they had some input. Writing alone is really a whole different thing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, writing alone can be a very lonely experience. I mean, you kind of plunge into what you're writing, and I don't know about you guys, but I know if I'm writing fiction, I really, really relate to the characters and become some of the characters in my head. And, you know, if they're suffering, I'm suffering. If they're happy, I'm happy. And it kind of goes on like that. And then when you're writing with a partner, it really makes it fun because it's, again, a whole different dynamic than writing by yourself. What I want to do is I want to slide in one quick question because I know we're getting close to wrap-up time. But and, Eric, will you please give us a signal when it's wrap-up time? But
we've got 5
people
minutes
also
left.
Ask, what's that?
We've got 5 minutes left.
Okay. We can go a little bit over because it will continue to record after our time is live. But I did want to slide this in for the live broadcast, is that a lot of people also ask if each one writes different characters. And, of course, that's more to fiction, although it could also apply to the kind of things Denny and I have done together. And my answer for myself personally is no, we don't write a character. However, we each know what that character is like because we've done a personality profile first. And sometimes we do a monologue of the person, the character, giving their inner thoughts. And by doing a monologue, you find out things about that character that you might not have ever known. And
well,
so
I was going to interject here.
Yeah.
In the case of the Silver Sisters, we actually patterned the characters after some of our own personality traits. So,
but I'm not that I'm not that selfish.
No. But we've embellished those personality traits.
But then
but
I don't
my,
live
my
in a
point,
mansion either, so.
My point was going to be, though, that very often in writing the Silver Sisters, you know, like Morgan would rough out something and she'd have Goldie's point of view, which is sort of a pattern after my personality. And I would say right there flat out, oh, no, Goldie would never do that. Goldie would never say that. And the same is true with Morgan. She'd look at it and go, I don't know. You know, I think Godiva would be much more conniving than that.
Or I remember one where you had Godiva giving a hairstylist a $100 tip, and I said, "Are you kidding? She's got a lot of money, but or $300 tip." I said, "She's got a lot of money, but she's not that generous."
So in a way, we did sort of pattern the characters in each one. You know, we took a character and patterned it.
Yeah, and Denny, in the case of our writing together with the characters, I mean, up until this latest project, they were all real people telling us their story. So that was a little bit of a different situation. But I think we've pretty much done the same thing, is we've developed the characters so we know how they'll act. And, you know, we've got an FBI agent, and Denny was law enforcement for many years. We've got a female involved in it, and you know, I can relate to that part of it. And of course, you always do pattern characters either after people you know or maybe a composite of several people, and it makes it a lot easier. you know, and particularly when you're writing together, if both of you know the personalities of your characters.
Right.
Yeah.
How are we doing on time there?
Well, I think, Eric, we're just about ready to wrap it up, aren't we?
I think we're already gone.
Yeah, I'm here. We've got 1 minute and 50 seconds left.
Okay, so I'm going to talk really fast because we have a free promotion coming up on Terror in a Teapot on December 17th through 19th, the Kindle edition. And if you want to read one of the Silver Sisters books, that's a great opportunity. It'll be on Amazon, Terror in a Teapot. And I wanted to mention that our next show will be a pre-recorded show directed to writing holiday-themed books and stories. And then in January, we will have the Frugal Book Promoter, Carolyn Howard Johnson, and we will have the author of a great memoir, The Boss Always Sits in the Back, Joe D'Amore, and so many more interesting guests lined up for next year. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and God bless and stay safe. And the next show will be December 24th, the pre-recorded holiday books themed store. Whoa, not a store, a store. a show.
Holiday themed book stories.
I was watching Ed Sullivan last night, a rerun of Ed Sullivan, a really good shoe.
Morgan, do you want to mention your website?
Oh, yes. My website is, let me mention the website for the Silver Sisters. It's HTTP, and then, of course, the little colon and backslashes, silversistersmysteries.wordpress.com. And there's all kinds of things about the Silver Sisters on that website, including an interview with the 80-year-old mother, 81-year-old mother, who's a former magician.
Let's say goodbye. 5 seconds.
Okay, we'll say goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.